Sometimes going to church feels more like a masquerade than a family gathering. We dress up, put on happy faces, we smile and exude confidence in God's plan. But on the inside, we are often wrestling with failure or disappointment or heavy burdens that drag us down. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll challenges us to strip off the mask and embrace our need for genuine, honest relationships. As the saying goes, the church isn't a museum for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. Chuck titled today's message, Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable.
Understand what authenticity is and isn't. And if you need a good model, make a study of 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 7. It'll help. Remember who's writing. The Apostle Paul. A brighter mind, aside from Jesus, never lived in theological truth than the Apostle Paul. He had scars that represented real humanity. He was the man who earlier had persecuted Christians. Some of those things that most people would never have admitted, he writes in his letters. Paul said, I came and I wanted to do one thing. I wanted to portray Christ. I wanted to point you to Him. I wanted you to fall in love with Him. Be impressed with what He has done. Remember where He died and why. And he says this to the Corinthians, and he disarms them. Paul says, when I came, I decided I would talk about Christ and Him only. I tell you about what He has done and why knowing Him is the greatest decision you can make. Why did he do this? Look at verse 5. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Think about it. His persuasive, manipulative words were absent. Very surprising, because he was surrounded by those who would take advantage of others. Paul said, that's not my style. The apostle came before the Corinthians just as who he was. What great advice for all of us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about vulnerability before others. Now he talks about vulnerability within himself, within ourselves. You appreciate the first letter. You'll love what he writes in the second. This, by the way, is the most autobiographical of all Paul's writings. You want to get to know the apostle? Read 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. So he's writing to the same group of people to whom he's ministered for quite some time, over a year and a half. And he said, let me tell you about my ministry. Verse 2, all of you who teach, listen to these words. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Look at verse 5. I appreciate this. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Here it is again. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, what about the messenger? Verse 7, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, look at this, are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Isn't that beautiful? This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. No pretense, no showmanship, no manipulation, no narcissism. You won't find out later that what was said was not being lived out. You certainly would not find that from the apostle. How could he turn out like this? How could a man this humanly, this great, become this gracious? Well, the answer is in verses 8 through 10. Suffering. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. The word means confused, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. Why? So the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Let me tell you what it takes to be vulnerable. Security and humility. It takes both. Neither come naturally to us. One more passage. Chapter 11. One more. Look at the end of chapter 11. Now, you talk about a litany of trials. Verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. Look at the suffering. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. You ever been adrift at sea? Probably not. Every once in a while, we'll see the face of an individual who was rescued, having been adrift at sea. And the man says, I was adrift a day and a half, a day and a night. He was shipwrecked three times, traveled and faced danger from rivers and robbers and dangers from my own people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but they're not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. And he gets down to verse 28. Besides all this, I've got the daily burden of the churches. God bless you, Paul. God bless you for continuing on in spite of all of that. But you see, that's what made him who he was. So don't run from suffering. Don't hate the pain or the pressure. It's all designed to break you down, to make you secure in Christ and humble before others, especially the latter. Vulnerability is never displayed on a platform of pride. Ever. So let me close by describing as best I can the necessity of humility. Number one, begins with identifying. Verses 23 to 27, identifying the things that have brought us to our knees. Sometimes it'd be helpful to do that. Just take your time in your journal to write down the things over the past 5 years that have leveled you. Just write it down. Things that have brought you to an end of yourself. I'll tell you one of those entries I'd put in my journal. I got 2 speeding tickets last year. And the amazing thing is they came one right after the other. You know, I got one in the city of Dallas, and I hadn't gotten one in the longest time. I deserved them, but I hadn't gotten one in the longest time. And the police came out in the road and waved me over. I thought, he wants to look at my car. That's how long it had been. And he didn't want to look at my car. He wanted to look at my license. And of all things, he wrote down my name. And he gave me a ticket. And I'm like, good night. I says, how much will it be? He says, I don't know. Why don't they know the price? Why don't they know that? Anyway, I'm grateful. Well, now I am. I wasn't then. I was ticked off then. And so I got in the car and I thought, then I realized I should have been stopped many other times. So I found out you could go pay the thing and go on probation. Just don't get another ticket. How good is that? So I go home, tell Cynthia all about it, and she files this paper that I put, you know, all probation is great. Well, it wasn't 2 weeks later. And I'm pulling off, and I didn't know I was going that fast. Do I sound like I'm talking to the cop or what? I didn't know I was going that fast. This car with the window rolled up, you just don't know. And he didn't even listen. He just started writing. He wanted my driver's license and my name, and he started writing it down. And I thought, I can't tell him, but I'm on probation. So when he leaves, and he didn't seem worried about it at all. He just got back in the car and drove off. And so I called Cynthia and I go, hi. I got another ticket. And that was hard to admit, you know, but I knew she'd be piling that one. So I said, I'm on probation. She said, well, where are you? I said, well, I'm in Plano. She said, well, you got the other one in Dallas, and they don't charge you. You know, it's not the same probation. I thought, how do you know that? I didn't know, but I didn't ask. I didn't ask them. I said, you think that might be true? She said, well, I think so. You can ask them when you go to pay your fine. So I went right away, and I said to the lady, I said, I'm on probation in Dallas, and she says, well, this is Plano. We don't know what happened in Dallas. I thought, and I ain't telling you. So I'm on probation. I mean, I'm going to run out of cities before I run out of probations here. So Cynthia said, just drive carefully. Well, you know, and I thought back. But before I got too ticked off about all this, I realized that there's the longest time in my life I should have gotten a ticket. Just like a lot of you that are looking at me like, why could you do that? Well, I remember back in California. Our Colleen was a little girl. She was sick. I was taking her down to get some yogurt. And she's the cutest thing. She just kind of say what she felt. And I'm driving along, and I was going a little too fast. And the light was pink, kind of pink. And of all things, I get pulled over. And she says, well, finally, you're gonna ask. So I pulled out my license, and the cop walked up, and he said, I'll see your license. I said, he goes, Swindoll. You the guy on the radio? And I go, yeah. And he said, oh, my wife would never let me off if I gave you a ticket here. And Colleen goes, give him a ticket! What's the matter with you? Give him a ticket. And you know what? I deserved a ticket. I didn't deserve a tongue lashing from this little girl. Well, actually, I did. You know what? It humbles you to go through that and to tell you. Now, all of you know, I don't like to wait for the entire red light. I'm just confessing to you right now. They last too long. Like 30 seconds is enough. Some of you got to wait like 60 seconds. So when I got these two tickets, man, kids had a field day. They finally. And you know what I learned? Nobody beat me up in the back room. I didn't get dirty letters from my four adult kids. I got a lot of jokes, but they didn't mistreat me. You know what? I learned, just admit it. Just say it. So how many of you have got, no, I'm not gonna do that. I wouldn't force you into that. The apostle says, if I must boast, I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Would you learn to do that? If you want to brag about anything, brag about your failures. Brag about what's made you weak. Brag about the things you struggle with. Try that on, fellow Texans, since that doesn't come naturally with us. We're known all around the country as people that brag a lot. Let's surprise them. Let's brag about how weak we are. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I'm not lying. So let me say this. The role of humility in all of this is so important. It takes two things to be vulnerable. It takes security. Second, it takes humility. And those things don't come easily or quickly. You may not have been raised by parents like that. Would you quit blaming it on your parents that weren't like you wish they had been? That was then. Now you're becoming a kind of person that not even you like, because you've spent your time blaming it on mom and dad. So forget that. Humility. It begins with identifying the things that have brought us to our knees. Paul lists them. These are the things that reveal how human I am. While I was cold, I shivered. When I didn't have enough clothing, when I was in the deep, a day and a night, I was shipwrecked. And you know what? When people hear that, there's a respect that follows it. But we identify that. Second, acknowledge your own humanity. Verses 28 to 31. That's exactly what he does. Look at what he says in verse 29. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? There's humanity coming out. Verse 30, if I must boast, I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Wouldn't that be a great thing to cultivate? Boast about your weakness. When you're with friends and they're all, you know, trying to outdo each other and one-upmanship, just address the subjects that reveal your own weakness. Paul does that. Acknowledge your own humanity. If I could pass along a word to a young professor, you now have your advanced degree. And seriously, we admire you for that. Now get over that. And now that you're teaching, understand the heart of the student. Enter into their world. Understand they don't have the knowledge you have. They don't have the training. That's why they're under your tutelage. And every once in a while, let them know how human you are. It'll do you good, and believe me, it'll do them a lot of good. And third, relying. We rely on others who come to our rescue. Life isn't a solo flight. How do I get that? Look at verse 32 to the end. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. So they're out to get Paul. So what'd he do? He had to escape. Had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. You ever picture that? Paul in a great big old basket, and guys up here going, okay, here we go. Let's let him go. No, they didn't do that. They go, let him down easy. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks. A lot of folks in your life have held the rope when you're in the basket. I hope you thanked them. You know what? We don't even know what their names were. All he says is, I was lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape. Because of those folks, he made it out alive. I'm talking about something that will absolutely minister without your having to try hard to do so. And I really mean this. You can minister to your family, you can minister to your friends, you can minister to your class. If you're a pastor, you can minister to a church with such effectiveness. If you stop acting perfect and start being vulnerable. Where did I learn that? Years and years ago, while Cynthia and I were still at Dallas Seminary, we went to a conference at Glen Eyrie, which is the headquarters of the Navigators, Colorado Springs. When we got there to be with these great people, all of whom I admired, I was so young, and I'm just learning the ropes. And I heard that Jim Peterson had just gotten back from years in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where he'd had a magnificent ministry. And all the folks at the Glen just loved Jim, and man, I really wanted to meet him. Good night. If I could just meet Jim Peterson, because I'm looking for ideas and tips and counsel to become a minister someday. So of all things, Jim was willing to meet with Cynthia and me, and he and his wife had us over for a meal. And I sat there just staring at him, wondering what did he have that had ministered so effectively among a people he didn't even know the language when he went there. And by the time he left, the community had turned to Christ, and more were reaching out. How could he do it? So I finally said, Jim, how'd you do it? Tell me how to do that. He said, oh, Chuck, let them see the cracks in your life. That's all you got to do. I'll never forget that. No matter where you go or what you do or however God may use you, don't hide the cracks. And he said, when I went to Sao Paulo, I decided I'm going to struggle with the language. I'm going to have to learn a new culture. It's a geography I've never been in, but I know this. I'm just a man, and I'm going to tell them about one who is the God-man. He's the one I'm going to present. Comes to me, I'm just one of them. And I say to you, let others see the cracks in your life. Stop hiding it. Tell the truth. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, you see the cracks in Paul's life. And suddenly, he's no longer this untouchable, perfect, angelic apostle. He's just a guy like you and me, who happened to be in God's time, the right place, for God's service, for God's purpose. I want this for you so badly I can taste it. Just be who you are. Just let the truth out. Don't hide it. God will honor that vulnerability. Help us all, Lord, in the journey from earth to heaven to take it a step at a time. And rather than anticipating that we'll soar from one event to another, remind us that we have to walk to get there, and that the road is dusty and dirty, and the journey is rugged, and we drag along our humanity all the way. Thank you for the people who have touched our lives, every one of them, just a man, just a woman, a person who let us see the cracks in their lives. Help us to be able to do that in an authentic way so that Christ becomes the hero, the star of the show, if you will. And Lord God, build into us as a church a body of people like this, so that anyone who comes will feel comfortable among us, knowing they don't have to be anything other than who they are. Since we all start at the same level, remind us that the ground stays level at the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus, who died on it, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable. To learn more about this ministry, or to share the link to this program with a friend, go to insightworld.org. Just a moment ago, we heard Chuck describe the conversation he held with one of his heroes in the faith. His friend Jim urged Chuck to let people see the cracks, the imperfections in his life, just as Paul the Apostle did. Well, authenticity has been one of the hallmarks of Insight for Living. Chuck has modeled what it means to be real with our insecurities and struggles. But in Chuck's estimation, we can hardly get through the grocery line without viewing impeccable airbrushed faces smiling from magazine covers, or just spend a little time on Facebook and it appears that every other family has attained the idyllic life. Well, if those challenges resonate with you, then we'd like to suggest some helpful reading material. Chuck wrote a book that'll help you resist cultural pressures to be perfect and to align your values with God's. It's called Quest for Character: Inspirational Thoughts on Becoming More Like Christ. And all the details for purchasing a copy are found at insight.org/offer. As we conclude today, we want to say thanks to the many friends who stepped forward and gave generously in December. The outpouring of support makes a statement that you want this ministry to continue touching lives. And we're also grateful for the hundreds of new monthly givers. We call them monthly companions. As a monthly companion, your contributions truly help Insight for Living accomplish its mission. Perhaps God has been prompting you to become one of our monthly companions. Signing up is simple when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. As a monthly companion, you're doing for someone else what was once done for you. Once again, if you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Those who support Insight for Living with a monthly gift truly have a ministry all their own.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you. And I know, as your Bible teacher, I have been a grace recipient as well.
Our monthly companions are first recipients of God's grace. But when you begin to give monthly, God is deploying you as a courier of His grace. Today, we're inviting you to join the team.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Do for some unsuspecting person what someone once did for you. Become a monthly companion. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a message about facing the truth and resisting the temptation to lie. Be listening Thursday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.